Welcome to The Blaze. This is episode 268. I am your host, Alejandro Oveda. You have now pushed play to another blazing week, and I got to tell you, what an amazing week we just had. You know, we celebrated our sixth wedding anniversary this past week, and I got to say, what an incredible experience. Not only was I able to share the day with, you know, my lovely wife, but I was also able to do some things around L.A. We went and went out for, you know, a day to go check out L.A. And we ended up checking out a new spot. Well, not a new spot. We ended up going there before, but we ended up wanting to go try more of their food. And I'm talking about Burrattino's Pizza. I know this is one of my favorite places to eat right now. And I can't believe we ended up going for our anniversary. And if you have never heard of Burrattino's, it's they got a few places in LA, up in Huntington, and they just Huntington Beach. They just opened up their newest location, San Pedro, Carson City, and that's actually the location we ended up visiting this past weekend. And what an incredible experience. Even though it was like a two-hour wait to get the pizza, still, we should have known how incredible this pizza tasted. And we ended up getting the 120-count pepperoni pizza. And they ended up, you could order that with like black garlic. And that black garlic, man, it's next level. We ended up having to buy, you know, that Burrattino's black garlic seasoning that they ended up selling. You know, it's like a $10 shaker that you could use at home. But this Burrattino's pizza is amazing. And if you're ever in that LA, you know, area, make sure you check them out. Like I said, the pizza that we ended up having was they only have two sizes. I think it was like a medium and an extra large. So you kind of have to go with, you know, we ended up getting two pies. And we had to get the 120 pepperoni, you know, extra large to go. We ended up having pizza for the next day after we ended up coming back from L.A. But they ended up having this dope-ass pizza. And if, like, I like different types of pizza, you know, but one thing for sure, if you do a good pepperoni pizza, you definitely have my kind of focus on it. But they ended up doing this kind of, what would I say? It's like a Mexican style pizza. This, I think it's called the Mexicana, and definitely something that I say, if you ever go to LA, make sure you try this pie. It's it has chorizo, red and green chorizo, bacon, garlic, tomatoes, red onion, mozzarella, and marinara. And this was my first time ever having a pizza like this. Definitely something that changed my perception of what pizza is. I know here in Fresno, it's usually me and Ed's, and I would have to say it's a really good comparison to me and Ed's. They have this kind of crust that really you can bite into, and really the toppings really hold up very well with the crust, which I'm surprised, you know, they put extra cheese, but definitely that 120 pepperoni with black garlic, that's the one that is their signature right now. I'm surprised if you haven't seen, you know, if you're not a foodie. I'm definitely a foodie that I like to see what other cities got going on. So I definitely wanted to, you know, just support something that I think is next level. So this 120 pepperoni pizza is definitely viral right now. You got people coming from all over just to really try this pizza. So I'm definitely one of those people that definitely, you know, you went out of your way just to go try some pizza. It's kind of weird, but at the same time, delicious, and I couldn't wait to try it again. I think every time we might go through L.A. to go visit my parents in San Diego, might have to make that a definite stop. But also, for our anniversary, we ended up getting some Laker tickets, and I could not believe that I ended up getting these tickets. Great seats. Last minute, you know, buy, but we ended up getting two right in the, I wouldn't say the disabled area, but it, you know, you get a little bit of leg room. I was really surprised with the experience. This is my first Laker game, and it's on my sixth anniversary. It was amazing. They ended up playing the Lakers ended up playing the Timberwolves, and you know, I'll talk more about the experience, you know, the game day, the game, but the experience for me as a fan, it was something that I've always dreamed of doing, especially as a kid, and I always regretted not going to go see Kobe. The sucky thing is LeBron ended up, you know, not playing. He ended up having flu-like symptoms. But still seeing one of my favorite players, Anthony Davis, and being able to see some future up-and-coming, you know, superstars like Austin Reeves and also seeing Anthony Edwards. It was amazing. Great experience. I just wish that, you know, the Staples, now that, you know, the Clippers are going to have the new Intuit arena, now that they have that, hopefully they give Staples a little makeover, a little bit more of a Lakers feel, because I feel like it's just really neutral. I know other teams like the Kings play there, but, you know, it's definitely, as a Lakers fan, I've always dreamed about going there and seeing everything purple and gold. And, you know, not to say that, you know, everything has to be purple and gold. I just want to feel more like it's Lakers land, you know. What a great experience, though. It was crazy. That whole weekend, there were sports everywhere. I know the Angels were playing in town in L.A. They had the Clippers game, which was at 10 a.m., and then they had the Lakers game at 7 p.m., and it was just an amazing experience seeing some of my favorite players on the court and also spending the day with my wife. But, you know, this was just the weekend that I had, and I just couldn't wait to get to the podcast this week. And I just hope that you guys have been following along each and every week. I know you guys have been supporting, you know, the numbers have been on the high, but this has been a week for me to really step away. As I am on vacation for a week, just get a week off, you know, just to unwind and really get myself together. As you know, we're starting to make a lot of progress with the podcast. We're starting to make a lot of progress in our personal lives, and also I'm making still a lot of progress in my health goals. As you know, this has been a tough week for me coming back from, you know, LA, and trying to get back into the mix of exercising and getting shit done, you know. I really took 2 days off just to really sit around and not do much. And now getting back to the podcast really got me motivated really to get this week going. So I hope you guys have been just sticking around, tuning in each and every week. Like I said, there has been some minor changes to the pod. So if you guys are listening to this on any other platform other than Spotify, I hope I'm getting through to you. And if you are listening to Spotify, there has been a lot of major changes to the platform that I have been recording the podcast on. I'm still trying to fill things out as things have been new to me on how to upload, how to, you know, just to continue the consistency that I've had. Every Thursday has been a tough mark, as, you know, this week has been really tough just to get shit started. And then they switch things on you as you come back from vacation. It's kind of crazy, but I love the feeling. I love having, you know, you guys sticking around each and every week. So let's get this podcast started. And this week, I just can't start the podcast without starting with the 2024 total solar eclipse. And this happened on April 8th, 2024, as a total solar eclipse moved across North America, passing over Mexico, United States, and Canada. And this was a total solar eclipse, which happens when the moon passes between the sun and the earth, completely blocking the face of the sun. The sky will darken as it were, almost like it was dawn or dusk. And the one thing that I was hoping that everyone was okay with was just the safety of viewing this total solar eclipse, as you know, you need specialized eyewear that is designed to view the solar eclipse. But this happened on Monday, and what a great day it was, as the sun was out bright, and the sun, you know, was totally there. And I just saw through other telescope pictures and other people that were taking pictures through camera lenses and other types of binoculars. Also saw a lot of filtered pictures as well, but it was so cool to see, as there was different things that were taking part. I saw like Red Bull was able to fly right into the middle of the moon, and you could actually see the Red Bull logo on the planes, which was an amazing thing. If you haven't seen that, make sure you guys check it out on YouTube. But this was a cool event, as me and my wife, we didn't end up going out there to go see it with our own eyes, but we definitely wanted to go out there, be outside, and feel that kind of good energy that's coming. I kind of feel like right now this is what we need, as a lot of energy is is starting to be displaced and starting to change. And it was cool to see a lot of people out there being active, trying to check this out and take pictures and be a part of this total solar eclipse. But it was great to be out there. We ended up going fishing, didn't catch anything, as I probably thought we were gonna catch something, but we didn't end up staying out there for too long. We ended up going just for maybe like an hour or so. But I definitely wanted to get out there and just check it out, and these different types of glasses that these people were wearing are kind of weird. And so I definitely didn't want to overwhelm myself, or, I just wanted to be out there and check it out, as, this will be the first total solar eclipse in the continental United States in 7 years. So I just wanted to be out there, as millions of people were out there taking advantage of the sights, and just seeing some of the videos also on TikTok weren't so nice, but just wanted to just talk about the solar eclipse, as it is one of the biggest things that happened over the week. And of course, I was on vacation, so I was able to watch a lot of different shows, a lot of different movies this week, but I really wanted to talk about this 2023 comedy. It's called Dumb Money. It was directed by Craig Gillespie, and written by Lauren Shookerblum and Rebecca Angelo. But it was actually based on, a novel or a book, The Antisocial Network. And this was actually about the GameStop short squeeze in the stock market, which the film really brings you into detail about what goes on. But I felt like this was a great cast, as it starred Paul Dano and also Pete Davidson. As this was actually a great comedy. And if you don't know about Dumb Money, it premiered, I think, late or early 2023. And it ended up getting a lot of good reviews and a lot of good, it was well received. But if you don't really know about the Dumb Money situation, it's basically about how little people, stopped huge hedge fund investors in the stock market. Over, I think, GameStop, which they ended up coming out and making tons of money during, the COVID pandemic. And GameStop stock, was falling to like to the low lows. And then he ended up stepping in, spending a lot of his money towards the stock, and made a mass increase in GameStop's overall stock price. And this was just, it just turned into a big, like, snowball effect for some of these people that were taking advantage of, you know, just the stock market and being kind of stubborn to the fact that, you know, regular people could actually make a difference in the stock market. But they were able to raise at least $3 to $4 billion necessary to help investigate what was going on, as, you know, this guy was being subpoenaed as there was suspicion of tricking the public into making himself rich. So investors struggled to defend themselves as they were, you know, trying just to bring awareness to the situation. But I felt like the stock market is really something that I don't really know about. But seeing this movie and seeing how a lot of these people stuck together to really make change and really bring down some of these hedge fund investors. And something like GameStop, which, you know, he knew all the information. He knew exactly what was going on. And people just didn't really think he had the power to, or these investment companies didn't think he had the power to do what he did. But just a great movie all around. Would recommend seeing it again and kind of get to know what was happening, as, you know, this was my first time really hearing about exactly what went on, but it made me want to think about, you know, watching it again and maybe learning more about the stock market, as, you know, this was a way people really made great money in using just the information and networking and being involved in something bigger than themselves. I think it was incredible. It sent a message. And I think, you know, now that this happened, I think a lot of people are looking at the stock market a little differently. But the way that they kind of made this into a comedy kind of made me like it a little bit better. But it did have some dull moments. But they gave it, I think, a 6.8 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes. And I think it's around there, about maybe a 7 out of 10, or I would say even a 3.7 out of 10, or out of 5. But it was great, as, you know, if you're looking for something dumb to watch on Netflix, you know, and that's something that we always kind of end up doing, make sure you check out Dumb Money, and let me know what you guys are watching this week. And this week I was able to listen to a lot of different records or a lot of different albums, but I really wanted to talk about the new Justin Timberlake album called Everything I Thought It Was. And first, if you haven't seen, you know, he has been on a run. As you know, he has been on a takeover. He did a Tiny Desk performance on NPR, and you can find that on YouTube. But what a great performance. And if you don't know the Tiny Desk performance, you know, we talked about it many times on the podcast. It's just like a desk performance that they bring together, like a band, and then he does a live performance inside of this office space. And he did a lot of his throwback songs, but he also did a lot of his songs off of his new album, Everything I Thought It Was. And what an experience to really check that out, as he has been doing such a great job, especially, you know, knowing that this is his sixth album of his career, which is not a lot. I thought he had a lot more, but definitely his sixth. But hearing this release, I think it was in March, I kind of like just slept on it, you know, for a while. But I heard a lot of his songs on playlists that I was listening to, and I really, really gravitated towards it this week, as I really wanted something to really calm me down. really put me in a perspective, other than like a hip hop perspective, you know what I mean? I needed something to really switch my mood during this week, as I really was on vacation, you know, celebrating my anniversary, and then coming back and trying to get back into the mix of life. But we ended up listen to this album on the way back from LA, and I could not get enough of it, as there was tons of different artists on there. Not tons, but just some good artists, which include NSYNC, his old group, Toby Nagui, and Fireboy DML. But the production on this was amazing, as I think Justin Timberlake had a lot to do with the mastering of it and everything, but you can hear a lot of Timbaland throughout the album, which I was so happy to hear, as those two really make a great dynamic duo. But you know, the two singles that I was able to listen to first off the album were Selfish and No Angels. And then also off of this album, he ended up having another promotional single called Drown. But this is, you know, an album that I felt kind of takes away from the 2018 album that he dropped, Man of the Woods, which I was a big fan of that one, but it just wasn't for me, as, you know, that was more like a country kind of bluegrass kind of feel to it. I felt like I like his hip-hop, his pop, his more R&B feel, which I felt like this one really is heavy on that sonic length, as I felt like he hit a lot of different genres, especially disco, which, you know, bringing back some of the old school stuff, samples or anything, like a lot of it I felt like it was real up tempo, which I like, especially as I was able to work out to this album. But definitely making it his sixth album, I felt like this was a great album, especially getting, you know, all the band members together with NSYNC, which was amazing. I think, you know, seeing you go back to your roots, as he went back to his roots with NSYNC, he went back to his roots with Timbaland, and then he's also making a lot of different styles of new music, new styles of disco, the sound that I felt like it was like a lot of, Pharrell had a lot of influence on that. But I just felt like this was a great album, and I really wanted to talk about it, as, you know, it has been getting kind of left in the dust, as, you know, we've heard, you know, the Kendrick diss, we heard the J. Cole diss. Beyonce has an album that just came out, which, you know, I still haven't listened to, but this album, I didn't want to get lost, as, you know, a lot of great albums have been already released this year. But definitely check this one out. This is Justin Timberlake's sixth album in his career. And I felt like my favorite songs off the albums were some of the top ones, but his first song, Memphis, which I loved, No Angels, and Technicolor. But there's at least 12 to 10 good songs on this album, and I just hope you guys enjoy it as much as I do. So make sure you check it out. It's called Everything I Thought It Was, and it was released earlier in March. So I was definitely way behind on this listen. But like I said, I listened to some of the singles that he dropped on other playlists, and I definitely had to jump into it, had to listen to it. So let me know what you guys think, and let me know what you guys are listening to this week. And this week, I just want to talk about just the fatal crash that happened near my house, right there on Friant and Audubon, which Friant Street, if you don't know, is it's so dangerous to drive on that street. But he was only 20 years old, and he ended up killing himself in a 5-car crash right there on the corner And like I said, he was 20 years old, and I think he ended up running the light, which, you know, he was driving a four-door car south on that Friant Road near the park. And he may have run a red light before striking a SUV. And then that's when three other cars that were stopped at the light were struck during the collision. And that's when this guy was taken to the hospital and later pronounced dead. And the other people in the cars were actually complaining about, you know, just feeling terrible after a terrible crash. And this happened actually around 9 p.m. on our anniversary on April 7th. And they were still picking up stuff in the street as we were coming home on early April 8th. I think it was like 1 a.m. in the morning, 1 or 2 a.m., and they still had the truck that was struck by the car, and you could just see how mangled this car was. And, you know, you cannot help but just pray for these people, and knowing that someone did pass away, and knowing that, you know, I've been seeing, you know, people coming to really pay respect to this guy. It really is sad, and I just want you guys just to pay attention if you do come this way around Frying and Audubon area, just to make sure you guys know, you know, to stop, make sure you guys are stopping in the right time. Don't try to race the light if it is a yellow. Definitely, you know, I've seen a lot of people get in accidents around that area, especially if you go further into Friant. Right there on Shepherd and Friant is like one of the worst intersections. It's like a three-way stop, and sometimes people just don't realize how fast they're going, and literally will plow through the area in T-bone cars. They actually have like a YouTube channel dedicated to that corner of town, and I hate seeing, you know, the videos, but also, you know, just to know that the awareness, and make sure you guys know where you're driving, what time it is. You know, it usually happens late at night, and people that don't really know the area and get disoriented, because it is kind of a weird area. I don't know. It's a weird situation, but, you know, there was a 20-year-old kid that ended up dying over the weekend, and it just sucks. You know, it just sucks to know someone so young, you know, pass away from making a really just a dumb mistake. So make sure you guys know your surroundings and know exactly where you're going, and don't be out driving past, you know, 1 a.m. And I know for us, that's a thing we should be thinking about too, as that could have been anybody in that situation going down that intersection, you know. So make sure you guys are just being safe, and make sure you're being cautious as you drive around our Great Valley and Fresno area. And for lighter news on the pod, let's talk about how Monopoly is going to make a Fresno edition of the board game. And I've seen, you know, different off-brand Monopoly boards during like Christmas time of Fresno, Clovis area. But this is going to be an official Monopoly board, which is going to be sold online in local brick and mortar stores, such as, you know, like mom and pop stores, and, you know, probably Target, Walmart, wherever you guys could get your games at. But I am a huge, huge fan of Monopoly. And knowing that they're going to have a Fresno landmark Monopoly board game, this is going to be so dope. And this was actually announced on Thursday, earlier today, as, you know, several local mascots and game makers joined Mayor Jerry Dyer to announce the Fresno edition of the iconic board game. And this is a huge deal, as, you know, I think Fresno is, you know, the fifth largest city in California, and I think it's like the 35th largest city in America. So it is a big deal, and it also, you know, creates billions of dollars of revenue just off of the farmland that we have here in the valley. So this is a big deal, especially because this is where we live, you know. And I'm so glad that, you know, they chose Fresno as, you know, the game maker is taking a chance making this Fresno game board. And I feel like it's going to be a good move because I feel like Fresno represents so hard. They take pride in their community. We have some rich history around this area. Derek Carr, Aaron Judge, Davante Adams, Paul George. We got a lot of great athletes, a lot of great people that came from Fresno. I hope that they're going to, you know, of course, put the Fresno Water Tower in there. Hopefully Huntington Boulevard. Hopefully they're going to have, you know, Blackstone, Shaw. Even Herndon, I would like to see Herndon on there. Fresno City, so many of the landmarks in town. But I feel like, you know, there's going to be it's going to be great time with friends and family being able to play Monopoly like you used to back in the day, you know, on Christmas. I don't know. I love that feeling of getting around a game board, and it's going to encourage people to gather together just because it is a Fresno game board. So it is going to be a great time to support some of these mom and pop, you know, gaming stores such as Crazy Squirrel Game, Ender's Gaming. There's tons of different game stores that will probably and hopefully be involved in this, but they hope that there's going to be a lot of community suggestions, which they're going to need by May 10th. And you can actually email fresno@toptrumps.com to submit all your suggestions. So this Monopoly game is it's serious. So, you know, like the old game that you grew up playing, you know, is going to be actually a Fresno version. So I hope you guys are excited about this. I'm definitely excited about this. Hopefully it comes out around Christmas time. That way we could get that under the tree. But I am a huge Monopoly fan. So if you guys end up getting this before me, let's have a Monopoly party. You know, I definitely want to get down. Now let's talk about our local sports. And we'll start off with our Fresno State Diamond Dogs, as they have an overall record of 23-8 and a conference record of 12-3. And this past week, they had a three-game series against Nevada here at home. They started that off on April 8th. They had actually had a doubleheader on April 8th. With their first game, they won 9-8. Their second game, they won 9-2. And then their third game, they ended up playing on Sunday, April 7th. They ended up winning 16-3. Then the Dogs ended up going on the road against Cal Poly to play in San Luis Obispo, and they ended up getting the win there 5-2. And now the Dogs will be facing the New Mexico Lobos, as they will be on the road for a three-game series, which will start April 12th on Friday through April 14th, and that's Sunday. And then they'll come back to California, still be on the road, and they'll end up taking on LMU on Tuesday, April 16th. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State baseball team. Now let's talk about our Fresno State softball team, as they have an overall record of 26-12 and a conference record of 6-4. And the Dogs were actually on the road all week this past week, starting off against Utah State, which they had a two-game series. They ended up having their first game April 6th on Saturday, and they ended up winning 9-1. And then their second game they had on Sunday, April 7th, and they won their second game 6-0. Then the Dogs ended up going to Stanford to take on Stanford, and they ended up losing on Wednesday 2-7. Now the Dogs will be back on the road against Boise State for a 3-game series this week, and then we'll be back at home to take on Cal at Margie Wright Diamond. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State softball team. Now let's talk about our Fresno Grizzlies, as they have a record this year, and they're starting off strong with the record of 5-1. And earlier this week, they had a series against San Jose, which they ended up beating San Jose the 3 games in that series. Then they had a 3-game series against Inland Empire Tuesday. They ended up getting the first win 11-8. On Wednesday, April 10th, they got the loss 6-8. And then on Thursday, April 11th, today, they ended up getting the win 4-1. And they'll end up finishing off the series with Inland Empire this weekend. So we'll have 3 home games this weekend, which Friday they'll start off at 7:05. And they'll have My Job Depends on Agnite and a replica jersey giveaway. So make sure you guys attend that game. And then on Saturday, they'll have the game at 6:50, and that's Meet Bluey and Bingo Night. And then on Sunday, April 14th, they'll have a day game, and that will be starting, I think, at 1:05 p.m., and that's actually Bark in the Park. And then they'll start their week series long on the road against Stockton next week on Tuesday. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno Grizzlies. Now let's talk about our Central Valley Fuego, as they have a 1-3 record so far this season. They had a big game last weekend against the Richmond Kickers, which they were on the road. They ended up losing 3-2. But the Central Valley Fuego will be at home this weekend at Fresno State Soccer Stadium at 7:30 p.m. to take on the Chattanooga Red Wolves. So make sure you guys get those tickets out at Fresno State Soccer Stadium. I know they've always been sold out, but the tickets, I think, run around $30 up to like $90, depending on where you want to sit. But it's a great time, great experience to go out, check out the Central Valley Fuego, and make sure they get the win. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your Central Valley Fuego. Now let's talk about our Valley FC, as they had a big game against our UPSL league rival, Inter SF, and they had a big game, as it was the Valley's team first game at home, as they took care of business here at home, as they took the win 5-1. And what a great game, as the atmosphere was live. They had a great game, and make sure you guys check these guys out, as they are incredible. And you can check out more about this team on their Instagram, as they've got a lot of in-depth interviews with their teammates. But what a great game, as they had goals from Olivares, Tovar, Gonzalez, Padilla, and Padilla ended up getting 2 goals in this game. But now they're going to be at another home game this weekend against Project 510, which will be on Saturday, April 13th at Keith Tice Park at 7 p.m. So this is their second home appearance, and it's going to be a back-to-back. So make sure you guys take a look at their upcoming spring season schedule of 2024 on their Instagram page, and make sure you guys don't miss out on the Valley FC, as they are a great team and a premier soccer club to watch. So make sure to tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Valley FC. Now let's talk about our Fresno State basketball team, as they are still relevant after the season has ended, and we're going to talk about how they ended up hiring Clovis West, Vance Wahlberg, who is now going to be the Fresno State men's basketball coach and will lead the Bulldogs as their new head coach, as he will have a press conference later tomorrow on April 12th. But Vance Wahlberg has been hired as the Fresno State's 20th head coach in program history, and this is sources from ABC, as they have they were talking about who was going to be the coach, and I think it came down from two great coaches, but they ended up announcing Vance Wahlberg will be hired as the next head coach for Fresno State men's basketball team. And if you don't know, Vance Wahlberg has coached Clovis West for 20 years. He had experience coaching at a UC Pepperdine and also in the NBA. So I'm hoping to see some great, great basketball from this Fresno State team, and hopefully going to see a great press conference that's going to take place on Friday. But Wahlberg being named the coach of the Fresno State basketball team is a huge, huge thing, as we're going to remain local, and they ended up hiring someone from the local scene. And he's also a great coach that has a great basketball mind, and he is known for his dribble drive motion offense, which you could see from Calipari. You know, they ran it when he coached at Memphis. He later coached at Kentucky, but then now he's, of course, Coach Calipari is now at Alabama. So this offense is definitely something that has been seen as successful, as Coach Calipari is one of the best coaches in college basketball. But Vance Wahlberg is definitely a winning coach, as he comes at, I don't know how many championships he's won over the years, but he has a track long record of just winning and having the passion to always bring basketball to the forefront and drive the game and excel the game and take it to new heights. I've always seen Coach Wahlberg as a basketball mind and also just a genius. So I'm hoping to see, his stint here with the Fresno State Bulldogs as something that is not going to be brief, something that may be a long-term thing. But I know he had some problems, at Pepperdine. A lot of it's recruiting problems, but also he had some troubles in the professional realm, as he wasn't really much on the winning side. But I feel like if you see how he built up his Clovis West program, I think he could really mimic that here in the West, Mountain West Conference, to bring home some championships back to Fresno State, as they have been good, but nothing like they used to be in the 90s. And I think now that we have Vance Wahlberg, we're going to see so much local support. And I think a lot of what Vance Wahlberg and the Bulldogs are going to be committed to is just fostering a winning culture and making sure that they have a good product on the court. And also getting boosters and stuff like that is going to be great to have Wahlberg, as Fresno State basketball has always kind of hindered against their Fresno State football program. So it's great to see Fresno State getting this local guy coming in and making sure that we stay local and making sure that we can build a winning culture here in Fresno State. But they also hired an assistant coach as well that will go well with Coach Wahlberg, as John Welch has actually been named the assistant head coach at Fresno State. And John Welch, I thought he was probably going to follow Calipari to Arkansas, as he was assistant coach for Kentucky. But he is now the new associate head coach at Fresno State and will be joining Vance Wahlberg, who the originator of the dribble drive offense that Coach Cal made famous out in Fresno. So this is going to be a great pickup for us to have a great assistant coach to go along with a great head coach. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State men's basketball team. Now let's talk about NCAA March Madness, and we'll start off with the NCAA men's basketball team championship game, as they had the number one team Purdue versus the number one team UConn, which I ended up predicting in my bracket that it was going to be these two teams. And what a great game, as you know, the big guy Zach Eady, he ended up scoring 37 points and he shot the ball very well. Ending up shooting like 15 for 25, but ended up shooting like 7 for 10 from the free throw line, which I thought that was going to be their weak point. But it was a great game, as the two big men from Purdue and then also UConn, who I really enjoy watching play, and his name is Donovan Klingon. Which he ended up having a great game. He only scored like 11 points, but was able to do a lot of damage on the defensive side. But my favorite player off of UConn is Alex Caraban. And he was a tremendous asset to the UConn team throughout the whole tournament. Of course, you know, it doesn't show his significance on the scoring side, but he does so many great things on the offensive side, like passing, being able to find an open man, being able to read offenses right from transition, and also rebounding the ball. This guy is a tremendous player. I hope that he stays a year. I'm not too sure exactly what his situation is, but what a great game, as it went down all the way to the wire, as UConn beat Purdue 75-60. And just to say, you know, some of these guys, like Eddie from Purdue, this might be his last chance to be able to play basketball. As you know, I think the NBA is kind of, they'll take someone like this guy, like Zach Eady, but I don't feel like he fits very well when it comes to transition and being able to score outside of the paint. There's a lot of things he needs to work on if he's going to be a top pick for the NBA, but I just want to say congratulations to UConn, as they did beat Purdue 75-60 to take home the NCAA tournament championship. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on the NCAA men's basketball. But now let's talk about the women's basketball, as this was probably one of the most exciting March Madnesses for women's in a long time. And this was probably the most watched women's tournament, as I could not keep my eyes off of the tournament, as Caitlin Clark has really stole people's just imagination and just the way they think about how the game is played, especially at the women's level or college level at that. Caitlin Clark has been a great, great thing for the game of basketball, and I just want to continue to push her, as she had a great game against South Carolina, but was not able to get enough done to take over the South Carolina Gamecocks, as they ended up losing 87-75. Iowa ended up losing 87-75. But what a great game by Caitlin Clark, who she ended up scoring 30 points and really shooting the ball well at the line. But just like I said, couldn't get it done against the height against this South Carolina team. And this South Carolina team is a force. They have some tall girls that could really put it on the floor and really get it done. And it really made it miserable for Iowa to have to guard some of these girls, as South Carolina really capped off an undefeated championship season. And, you know, they kind of really were on the back burner from the Caitlin Clark story throughout this tournament. But really, they have been the top team in NCAA throughout the year, as they really beat some big teams during this tournament and also during the season. So I just got to say congratulations to, you know, South Carolina, as, you know, this was a great season for them. And I'm a huge, huge fan of the coach for the Gamecocks, as she has been not only just a standout coach, but just a standout woman who really personifies what a coach should be like. And her name is Dawn Staley. You know, she's done good throughout this whole season, really put together a great team to really put it to that Iowa team that Caitlin Clark really took all the way till you know, the championship game. But I just got to say congratulations to the Gamecocks, as they are the 2024 NCAA Women's NCAA Tournament champion. So what a great road to the championship game. And I just can't wait to see how well these women do in the WNBA, like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and some of the other ones that are coming and that are coming right now in the college level. And I just can't wait to see how the women game is going to progress in upcoming years with Caitlin Clark going into the WNBA. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on the WNBA. Hopefully we talk about Caitlin Clark a lot more, and then also about the women's NCAA for next season. Now let's talk about the MLB, and we'll start off with the Dodgers, who have a 10-5 record, and they lead the National League West, as they had games against the Cubs, which they had a 3-game series, and they ended up splitting the series 1-2. Their first game, they ended up losing 7-9. Then the Dodgers picked it up their second game and beat the Cubs 4-1. And then their third game, the Cubs beat the Dodgers 8-1. And then the Dodgers had a week series versus the Twins, which was a 3-game series, and they ended up splitting the series 2-1. They ended up winning their first game against the Twins 4-2. Their second game, they ended up beating the Twins 6-3, and then the Twins beating the Dodgers their third game 3-2. And then this week, and they will have a 3-game series at home against the Padres. And then during the week, they will have a 3-game series against the Nationals at home as well. So make sure to tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your LA Dodgers. Now let's talk about your San Diego Padres, as they have a record of 7-8 and they're second in the NL West. And this past week, they had a 3-game series against the Giants on the road, and they ended up getting one game out of that series. They split the series 1-2. They ended up losing their first game 3-2. They won their second game 4-0. And then the Giants beat the Padres 3-2, their third game. Then they had a 3-game series at home against the Cubs, which they ended up splitting 2-1. They got their first game 9-8. They lost their second game 5-1, and then they won their third game 10-2. And then they'll have a 3-game series on the road against the Dodgers this weekend, and then they'll have another away series against the Brewers over the week. So make sure to tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your San Diego Padres. Now let's talk about my San Francisco Giants, as they are third in the National League West, and they have a record of 5-8. And over the week, they had a 3-game series against the Padres, which they split that series 2-1, which they beat the Padres 3-2 their first game, lost the Padres 4-0 their second game, and beat the Padres 3-2 their third game. Then they had a 3-game series against the Nationals, which they ended up splitting that series 1-2, and they ended up losing to the Nationals their first game 8-1. Then they lost their second game 5-3 to the Nationals, and then the Giants beat the Nationals 7-1 their third game. Now the Giants will have a 3-game series on the road versus the Rays, and then we'll be back on the road during the week versus the Marlins. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on San Francisco Giants. Now let's talk about the LA Angels, as they are second in the American League West with a 6-6 record. They had big games this weekend, but they will be playing on the road against the Red Sox, and then they'll have another series against the Rays. And now for the Athletics, who are third in the American League West, and they have a record of 5-8, and they have big games this week as well. They have a three-game series against the Nationals at home, and then they'll take on the Cardinals at home for a three-game series over the week. So make sure to tune into the Blaze podcast for more on your California MLB teams. Now let's talk about the NFL. And this week I just want to talk about, you know, the first five draft picks who are in order. The Minnesota Vikings will pick at number 5. The Arizona Cardinals will pick at number 4. New England Patriots will pick at number 3. The Washington Commanders will pick at number 2. And the Chicago Bears will pick at number 1. And this week, I just wanted to do kind of a mock draft, what I think each team will be needing. As, you know, the Minnesota Vikings at pick 5, you know, Jim Harbaugh's old team to a national title. J.J. McCarthy, which I think from Michigan, that QB who was a junior, would be a great landing spot for the Minnesota Vikings, as he was already coached by an NFL caliber coach, and he's able to spread the field with some great pass catchers. And they also have a great offensive line, and perhaps even even depending on the Vikings' view on Sam Darnold, I think, you know, this would be a great chance for J.J. McCarthy to get some great advice from Sam Darnold, who, you know, at one time was a top quarterback and, you know, is still probably trying to develop his game as well. So I think this would be a great pick, as J.J. McCarthy is looking to be a top pick in the NFL draft. And at pick 4, the Arizona Cardinals, they should end up picking, you know, at wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. And he was a junior. But I feel like, you know, the Arizona Cardinals always had a great wide receiving core, especially with Marvin Harrison Jr. already being a top wide receiver pick. I think this will be a great landing spot. As you know, they are looking for their permanent quarterback as well. As the Cardinals, you know, they're trying to just get the best prospect, especially at that number 4 pick. You know, this is a great chance to grab a great wide receiver in Marvin Harrison Jr. So I think the Arizona Cardinals should pick Marvin Harrison Jr. at that number 4 pick. And then at number 3, the New England Patriots will be, I think they should pick the LSU quarterback, Jaden Daniels. And I feel like, you know, New England could probably trade this pick, even though that this would be a great chance to get a great quarterback in a quarterback-heavy draft. But Bill Belichick is not going to be coaching. He's not scouting for the Patriots. Tom Brady isn't, you know, playing for the Patriots. So I think this is a chance for them to take a chance and get one of the best quarterbacks in the draft in Jaden Daniels out of LSU. And I think this would be a great pick to jumpstart the Patriots, a new offense that they'll be running, and one that could really put in a roster and kind of he already has a great talent to be able to put on the field and is ready to start for the New England Patriots if need be. But at number 2, the Washington Commanders should pick up the North Carolina QB, who was a sophomore and a redshirt, Drake May. And this was a big pick for the Commanders, as the number 2 pick is, you know, still in speculation, but they have some definite possibilities, as a lot has been saying Drake May, some were saying J.J. McCarthy, some are saying Jaden Daniels, but the number 2 pick is definitely just as big as the number 1 pick, as this is a quarterback-heavy draft, but I feel like if you were to go with someone like Drake May, you're really getting someone who is accurate. And the Commanders are pretty much on the upside right now, as they have the athleticism, they have the youth. But many people are really questioning Drake May and just his athleticism and his arm strength. But I still feel like, you know, he is a great pick at number two for the Washington Commanders. And at number one, the Chicago Bears have that first pick. And we already know who's going to go number one, Caleb Williams out of USC. And this is a big pick for the Bears, as they have the first pick. And I feel like, you know, you have to go with someone like Caleb Williams, who is really hyped up to be the best quarterback in this draft. But there is some great names in this draft, and I feel like the separation from Caleb and the rest isn't too far. But I feel like, you know, a lot of people think he possesses some great talent. And I can't say he's not a great player. I just still think that at USC, it was I think his talent was kind of put on alert, you know what I mean? So I think he still get that number one spot, but I think the Bears should pick Caleb Williams with that first pick. So these are just the top five picks of the draft. And the draft will be taking place on Thursday, April 25th through Saturday, April 27th. So there's going to be a lot of time for these teams to really get their mind together and get their pick that they think is necessary for their teams. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on the NFL. Now let's talk about the NBA, as the race is heating up for the 2024 NBA playoffs. There has been so much movement in the standings and so many great games each night this week, as we have some great, great moves in the standings. Like I said, right now the top 10 teams are at number 10, we got the Golden State Warriors with a record of 44-35. At number 9, we got the Lakers with the record of 45-35. With the 8th seed, we got the Kings with a 45-34 record. At number 7, we got the Suns with the 47-33 record. And as of today, if that were to go down, those four teams would be in the play-in tournament. And then the rest of the Western Conference, we got at number 6, the Pelicans with the 47-32 record. At number 5, we got the Dallas Mavericks, who have already clinched the playoffs. They have a 50-30 record. At number 4, we got the Clippers with the 51-29 record. At number 3, we got the OKC Thunder with the 55-25 record. At number 2, we got the Timberwolves with the 55-25 record. And at number 1, we got the Nuggets with the 56-24 record. Nuggets defeat Timberwolves to reclaim their first with one game lead over number 2 Wolves and number 3 Thunder. So this means that if it were to happen today, the Nuggets would get home court advantage throughout the playoffs. And it's a whole different story for the Eastern Conference. The top 10 teams of the East are the Atlanta Hawks, who have a 36-44 record. They are the 10th in the Eastern Conference. At number 9, we got the Bulls with the 37-42 record. At number 8, we got the Heat with the 44-36 record. And at number 7, we got the 76ers with the 45-35 record. And if those four teams were to, you know, if it were to be said and done today, those four teams would be in the play-in, which is more likely going to happen. Those four teams would be in the play-in. It's just going to depend on which order these teams end the season with. But they will be playing each other in the play-in tournament. And then at number 6 in the Eastern Conference, we got the Pacers, who have a record of 46-34. At 5, we got the Magic with a 46-34 record. At number 4, we got the Cavaliers with the 47-33 record. At number three, we got the Knicks at 47-32. At number two, we got the Bucks with the 49-31. And then at the number one record, we got the Celtics with the 62-17 record. And if it were all said and done right now, I mean, clearly the Celtics will have that home court advantage. They already clinched that. But the Bucks defeat Magic this week to push lead over the Knicks for the second to 1.5 games. So there's going to be a lot more movement in this season. But the 2024 NBA playoff brackets, like I said, those were going to be starting after the games that will be played on April 10th. So the play-in tournament will start April 16th through April 19th. And then the NBA playoffs will begin April 20th. So we got a lot more time for games. I think we have two more games left in the NBA season. And then, like I said, the play-in will start April 16th through April 19th. And then the playoffs will start on April 20th. So we got a lot more basketball to be played, as now we are looking at the playoff picture. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on the NBA. Now let's talk about the UFC, as UFC 300 is almost upon us this weekend, as this is going to be one of the biggest fight in combat sports. And this is a great event with great magnitude, as it carries one of the best, probably the best that I've seen, prelim card to main event card, and just the events that they're going to be having for this UFC 300. I think the stakes are so high for Dana White, for the UFC, as this is going to be probably the best card, like I said, to ever mark a Las Vegas arena. And this will be taking place on April 13th. So it's going to have a ton of great, great stars. It's going to start with the light heavyweight division, as it's going to have some great fighters, including Alex Pereira. The two-weight champion has enjoyed his reign at the top, and he's looking to go against Jamahal Hill. And Alex Pereira is 9-2, and Jamahal Hill is 12-1. And then they're going to have, at women's strawweight, the co-main event will be Weili Zhang, who's 24-3, versus Yan Jing Yen, who is 18-3. And then at lightweight, they'll have Justin Gaethje at 25-4 versus Max Holloway, who's 25-7. And then they'll have bout Charles Oliveira, who's 34-9, versus Armin Teixeirian, who's 21-3. And then they'll have a middleweight bout of Bo Nickel, who's 5-0, versus Cody Brundage, who's 10-5. So this is going to be a great match, great main card. Like I said, preliminary card is going to be crazy as well. And I just could not talk about UFC 300, as this is history, as it's going to be probably one of the best fights of the year. And I just can't go without talking about it. So make sure you guys check out UFC 300 and make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on UFC. And now I just want to thank you for pushing play each and every week. I want to let you guys know your support goes a long way for this independent podcast. I just want to urge you guys just to share the podcast with someone new. If it's a friend or family, someone that you know that's close that, you know, listens to podcasts, you know, send them this podcast their way. Let them know they can find this Blaze Podcast on Spotify. And make sure you let them know that every Thursday we drop new content. So this is 268 Thursdays in a row that we have not missed. I'm on vacation, getting it done, getting a long podcast in at that. So make sure you guys tune in every week as we continue to blaze trails in this city and also the Central Valley. Make sure you guys support all your local businesses, support all your local artists, and make sure you support all your local podcasts. I'm Alejandro Oveda signing off episode 268.